Blog Talk Radio.
And you are here today because anyone who ever bet against you was wrong. Because any obstacle that ever dared get in your way, no matter how invincible it may have seemed, it was defeated by your innate power to overcome. You are here today because you are powerful beyond measure. Stop denying yourself of this truth. Your greatest self has been waiting your entire life. Don't you dare make it wait any longer.
A Better Today welcomes you to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free with host, speaker, writer, and personal coach, Steve Maraboli. Steve and his expert guests take you on a quest for truth and highlight philosophies and strategies that help you release your greatest self. It's time to focus on your potential instead of your limitations. Here's your host, Steve Maraboli.
Hey. You're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maraboli. Of course, participate with this show through AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. You can also participate through our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. That's empoweredlivingradio.com. What are we talking about today? We're talking about soul nourishment and life fulfillment. I believe it actually says, on the episode info, it says soul nourishment and live fulfillment. That would be a typo. It should be life fulfillment, and we should fix that. But that's what we'll be talking about. Perfectly imperfect, baby. Perfectly imperfect. And again, if you want to participate with this show, our website, empoweredlivingradio.com, or AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. So first, as usual, a Better Today community. Don't forget the power of one kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. I'm constantly asked about is it a belief system? I'm asked. I did an interview where they ask me about this and if it's a mantra, whatever, it's whatever you want it to be. It's simple. I don't really get into the depth of it that way. I'm breaking down global change into something simple. When we think about changing the world, it's a lot to think about. So instead, it's just empowering yourself. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. It's a simple thing, the power of one. It just reminds you how powerful you are. We're constantly reminded, I think, by how powerless we can be. You know, it's easy to feel powerless. So the power of one is to remind you that you're not powerless. And the second that you start doing these one-kind gestures, whether it's simple little things or these grandiose things, either way, you see that you have an impact on somebody's world. And when you have an impact on somebody's world, you're having an impact on the world. That's just how it works. So don't forget that power of one-kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time. Let's talk about soul nourishment. Let's talk about life fulfillment. And also, let's talk about the things that get in the way. The things that get in the way, the questions that we have, the ideas that we have, the conditioning that we've been conditioned to, and the frustrations we feel. Let's address all of this today if we can. All of it if we can. Let's talk about why. You know, why is it that if we're designed for success, if we are created to succeed, why does success then seem so elusive? If we are created for this, why aren't we experiencing it so often? And let's talk about that. Let's talk about what nourishes your soul and why your soul sometimes feels depleted. Why your soul sometimes feels depleted? What is it as humans that create this nourished, fulfilled idea? So let's start by talking about Let's start by talking about our minds and how we work. Our minds and the fact that what we call happiness is a happeningness. We're happy when something is happening. We're happy when you're happy when you got your new car. You're happy when you get your new girlfriend or boyfriend. You're happy when you got new electronic or new shoes, whatever it is. We're happy when something seems to be happening. And we've gone on and on in shows, other shows, where really what we're looking for in true happiness is contentment, not a happeningness. If you attach yourself to items and that kind of stuff, it's just begging to be depressed, because, of course, new shoes turn into just shoes and new electronics turn into just electronics, and that newness wears off, and that therefore so does our attachment and our happiness. So we want to look for contentment. But aside from that, maybe we can leave that for a later conversation. But right now, let's talk about why that is. Well, it turns out as humans, the way that that we're designed, our minds are designed, our perceptual minds are designed, is that we do, in fact, need something to be enthusiastic about. We need something to be enthusiastic about. That's something that nourishes our soul. Now, I know that there are countless gurus out there that say, no, I am completely void of want. I want nothing. I have trained my mind to want nothing. That's impossible, folks. It's fantastic that we've had a lot of people who have developed the awareness of the universe enough to not be so attached to material things. I think that's great. Liberating yourself from that attachment is fantastic. However, you can't want nothing. It's impossible. If you have trained yourself to want nothing, even in there, you want nothing. Like it's impossible. It's like saying I've trained myself not to think of the color blue. Well, just to say that statement of thinking of the color blue, you have to think of the color blue. So it's impossible to not want anything. At the very minimum, you want to not want anything. So even then, you're fulfilling and pursuing a want. So let's be real, and most of us aren't living that life. I love being enthusiastic. I love being enthusiastic about things. And the greater the endeavor, the more I love being enthusiastic about it. I don't want to turn my back on my humanity and acknowledge that of course I'm excited about things. So let's understand that what we need as humans is something to be enthusiastic about. And those gurus that say, I want for nothing, will accept the fact that they don't realize that in wanting, they still want. And they're just they're denying the truth of their own humanity, which is a totally different thing. So we need something to be enthusiastic about. That's why you get enthusiastic about your new love, your new flirt, your new shoes, your new car, your new electronics, your new home, whatever it is. We feel most vibrant and most alive at those moments because they're things, but more on a more fundamental psychological level, it's because we're enthusiastic about something. This is why we read books that inspire us. And we say, you know what? This book has set me ablaze. I am inspired by this book. And it's true. And again, on the basic psychological level, because you're enthusiastic about something. So we need something to be enthusiastic about. Now, why does that usually turn into that kind of empty wah-wah feeling? Why do we go from so enthusiastic to realizing that initial enthusiasm wears off? And the reason the initial enthusiasm wears off is because, again, we find ourselves in that conflict of being the dreamer and not the creator. So we're enthusiastic because in our mind, we want and we're excited. And as soon as that our reality doesn't reflect that, we lose that enthusiasm. We're taught to dream, to visualize, to intend, all of these things vital in the process of your human spirit, vital in soul nourishment. Who doesn't want to dream? How amazing is it to have a dream, to think of something and to almost feel yourself attaining it, to visualize yourself attaining it. I've talked about visualization on the show. We've had some visualization experts, and I've also spoken about visualization and how great it is sometimes to just close your eyes and visualize a certain truth in your life. It's part of the four pillars of success, to visualize. And how could that not create enthusiasm in your mind, enthusiasm in your whole body? How could that not nourish the soul to have that dream? But you'll find that intoxication of the dream will soon turn into a hangover of the reality, because it didn't happen. Oh, how often do we say this? It didn't happen. It's not happening. And the reason it doesn't happen isn't our fault. It's not our fault. We've been trained, unfortunately. I don't even think that maliciously. I think we've been trained by ignorance. We keep ancient ideas. We brush them up and we give them new names and we make them new things. But we take ancient ideas that were formulated when people really didn't know how things worked. And we put those ancient ideas and we lay them in front of us today. And we're waiting around for something to happen that doesn't happen. And we come and we live in this disempowered way of thinking, really. It's a disempowered way of thinking. It's disempowered kind of spiritual thinking. And so we get the soul nourishment part. We're nourished by our ideas. We're nourished by these ideas. But in this nourishment, there's a cutoff. And when you listen to the language of our society, you realize where that cutoff might be. We're waiting. We're waiting for dreams to come true. How many times have you heard that? How many times have you felt that? I have a dream, and this dream, I'm waiting for this dream to come true. And so rarely does this dream come true. So rarely that when it does come true for some people, it's newsworthy. Because it's so rare that this dream comes true. Because that's the old disempowered mind. The old disempowered mindset that believes dreams come true. Instead of today's empowered mind that knows, I bring my dream to life. How long have you been waiting for this dream to come true? How long have you been inspired and nourished by this dream, inspired and nourished by this vision, drunk from the wonderful feeling of this vision, of this dream, only to receive the hangover of the reality when this dream didn't come true? As if by spontaneous combustion, your life will be set on fire and this dream would just come to life. We realize that it's not the way that it works. And the empowered mind no longer believes dreams just come true. The empowered mind knows that I must ignite myself on fire and set a course of action that will lead to this dream's birth in our reality. That we are more than just the dreamer. We are the one who will bring this dream to life. So when we're talking about soul nourishment and life fulfillment, talking about soul nourishment and life fulfillment, I think they're a part A and a part B. I think that they are two of a kind, in the sense that what your soul becomes nourished, your soul becomes nourished by the dream. Your soul becomes nourished by the dream. Your life becomes fulfilled by the action. When you realize that you're more than just the dreamer. The things that we celebrate in our society today are just that. Someone who had a dream, someone who had a vision for something. And then we get to see it. The reason we get to see it is because of the action taken. And one, you can't do one without the other. The fulfillment happens when one is with the other. I remember reading about Disney when Epcot Center opened up. Now, Walt Disney had a great vision for this Epcot Center and put it into action. Put it into action. Unfortunately, he died right before it was finished. Right before it was finished, and at the dedication ceremony, a reporter asked Disney's wife if it was a little sad that Walt Disney didn't get to see the finished Epcot Center. And she looked at this reporter and said, "He did see this. That's why you're seeing this." When you have the vision or the dream and you put it into action, you create a plan that will bring that dream to life. That is where you have your soul nourishment and your life fulfillment. If you feel unfulfilled, it isn't because you lack the dreams. You have the dreams. We know this. You have the intent. You have the wants. You have this. We know this. If you're lacking that sense of fulfillment, it's because you're not following up on it. You're letting other things take priority of it. You're not coupling the nourishment and the fulfillment. You're not serving as a good mediator between the dream and the reality. That's what we are. We're the connection between those dimensions of existence. We're the connection between those dimensions, the ether and the material, the empty and the full. We are the middle point there. We are the exact center of that. We can interpret that energy, that dream energy, that intent energy, that visualized energy, and we can interpret it and let it be seen in our world here. We're that point of origin. So if you have this dream and it's nourishing you, this dream makes you feel amazing, this dream makes you feel incredible, and then furthermore, you live your life according to that dream, you start taking actions towards that dream, and you start seeing that dream come to life, there is a sense of fulfillment that can't wear off. Because you're no longer just dreaming. You're living the dream. You've crossed that dream into a world of reality. And it is so uncommon. Even though what I'm saying seems so simple. We know it's not easy, but we know it seems simple. It is so uncommon that the few people who do live and act on their dreams are celebrated in society, not just monetarily. It's not just monetarily. They're celebrated in society because they had a dream, they had an intent, they had a vision. They created their plan and lived that vision. When was the last time you lived your dream? When was the last time you lived your dream? Instead of just dreaming it, instead of being frustrated, instead of just being frustrated, why not just live your dream? And that's what that depression comes from. That depression and that sense of defeat sometimes, a moral and even soul kind of emptiness and defeat. It's not that your soul is empty. It's not that your spirit is empty or poisoned. It's that you're experiencing the hangover. The hangover of your body. Your body is so magnificently created that you have this dream, right? So let's say we have a dream. We have a dream and we have a vision and we have an intent. And you know what I'm talking about. When you say you could feel every cell in your body wake up and you feel so excited about it and you're happy and you want to tell people about it. You're excited. You're excited to get to more research. You're excited to get this moving. You hate your regular job because now it's in the way of your dream. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. So this creates this incredible energy. Your body responds so magnificently to make you feel empowered and inspired, to give you the knowledge and the energy to fulfill this dream. But somehow, we don't use it to fulfill the dream. After having this amazing feelings, we don't change a thing. And then you get the hangover. After being drunken by the wonderful chemical fuel inspired by your dream, you become hungover from your inaction. And that's what we feel. It's what you feel when you have a dream and a vision like that. It's what you feel after you've read a great spiritual book or a self-help book. And you feel empowered and inspired. And this author gets me. And you feel that's it. I'm doing it. I'm excited. And you're so excited in the beginning, aren't you? That book, it feels like that book made you come alive. But then you don't change it. You don't change it because you're not usually told the truth about change. And when you don't change it, you get the hangover. And nothing's worse than a hangover. Now, what do you say when you have a hangover? Oh, that's it. I'm never drinking again. If this is what alcohol does to me, I'm never drinking again. And don't we translate that into those other type of books? Oh, no, those, I'm not reading any more of those. No, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. No, I'm not doing that anymore. Makes me feel hungover. All because we don't realize that it is up to us to create that beautiful dream in our lives. That dream is a picture of your potentiality. It's your potentiality brought to the vision of your mind. It is a likely and even probable future. It is a glimpse of what we can do. It's beautiful. beautiful. But then we have to do it. Then we have to do it. And that's where we get stuck. We're not used to doing it. We're used to wanting it. We're used to seeing it. We're used to feeling it. We're used to craving it. We're used to analyzing it. We're used to meditating on it. We're used to praying on it. We're used to all these functions of the intent. We're used to all these mental intent functions, however, and we adopt them all. We adopt all of these little children. Intent, I'm going to adopt that. Meditation, I'm adopting that one. Prayer, I'm adopting that one. And we adopt this whole huge family of intent and different words for intent and different words for want and different words for change. And we adopt all these things. But we leave as an orphan. We leave as an orphan. The only thing that can get us there, action. Action becomes the orphan of the society. Action. Here in I'm in Port Washington, New York. We have an animal shelter, and was speaking with someone from the animal shelter, and they were saying, we were talking about this animal shelter has been here since I was a kid, and it was a little itsy bitsy animal shelter, and now it's huge. I mean, it's got national recognition here in the United States. It's a huge a place for animals. And was speaking with somebody who works there, and they were saying how the challenge becomes getting the less attractive animals to be adopted. That has always been their challenge. They told me that, of course, who doesn't want the cute little puppy, the cute little cat? That's the easy part. The difficult one is getting the unattractive ones. The ones that aren't so sweet to the eye, but equally loving and could make a fantastic pet, yet because they don't look as good as the other ones, they're not as appealing to the eye. They have a lot bigger of a problem getting someone to adopt them. And the same is true in our lives. Whether we're not dealing with adopting animals, but what we do adopt in our minds and in our lives is we adopt the pretty ones. Oh, I just have to think about change? Great, I'll take that. Oh, I just have to visualize weight loss and health? Okay, I'll take that. Oh, I have to visualize more money? That was my problem? Oh, I'll visualize that. I'll take that. Oh, I just have to pray and hope that it's going to come? Oh, I'll take that. All the pretty ones we take. Oh, they're attractive. It's attractive to think, all I have to do is think about this and change my mindset. Oh, my problem is my mind. We'll adopt all of those, but we leave orphan the less attractive one. You mean I got to get off my ass and do this? Oh, no, I don't want that one. You mean I have to take that time that I would be praying and meditating and going and doing something about my finances? No, I don't like that one. You mean I got to make better food choices? No, I don't like that one. You mean I got to make better financial decisions? No, I don't like that one. Oh, you mean I have to call someone else and apologize to them? No, I don't like that one. All the ugly ones, all the ones that are less attractive, those are the ones we leave orphan when in fact it is those. It is those that will get us to where we need to get. That's what will create, bring our dream into our reality. By adopting not just the ones we find attractive, but by adopting the ones we find less attractive. Folks, I too would love to just intend something and for it to bring me everything I want. I would love that, but that's not how it works. I too would intend, I would love to intend to be fit and feel fantastic and not have to go to the gym and not have to run and not be selective. And maybe I should, I would want to have a brownie. And I would love to just adopt the mindset idea, but it's not how it works. You got to go out there. You got to participate. You got to do your exercises. You got to make good financial decisions. You have to do all of this. If not, that dream isn't coming true, and you're going to experience that hangover. Folks, you're listening to Empowered Living Life, the Truth, and Being Free. I'm your host, Steve Maribel. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, let's talk about soul nourishment and life fulfillment a little bit more. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maribel. We'll be right back. Just like your capacity for life, happiness, and success is immeasurable. Day after day, countless people across the globe get on the scale in search of validation of beauty and social acceptance. Get off the scale. I have yet to see a scale that can tell you how enchanting your eyes are. I have yet to see a scale that can show you how wonderful your hair looks when the sun shines its glorious rays on it. I have yet to see a scale that can thank you for your compassion, sense of humor, and contagious smile. Get off the scale because I have yet to see one that can admire you for your perseverance when challenged in life. It's true, the scale can only give you a numerical reflection of your relationship with gravity. That's it. It cannot measure beauty, talent, purpose, life force, possibility, strength, or love. Don't give the scale more power than it has earned. Take note of the number, then get off the scale and live your life. You are beautiful.
Forget the power of one. One kind gesture, one person at a time, one day at a time.
You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like a nothing. You, with your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded. You, picking on the weaker man.
Hey, 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 welcome back. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maribel. Make sure you check out our websites, abettertoday.com, stevemaribel.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. We've been doing this show for a long time. Every single show we've ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. Thank you all so much for all the feedback to the AOL Instant Messenger. The screen name is ABT Radio Show. That's one word, ABT Radio Show. Also, empoweredlivingradio.com. There's an instant feedback link there, too. In case you're listening in a place that you can't use your AIM, you can do it through our website. It's interesting. The reason we have it through the website as well, which we're starting to get more from the website than from AIM, which is pretty cool. But it's because some people are in countries where AIM doesn't work right. Some people have computers where AIM doesn't work right, and also a lot of people are at work, so their work like disables instant messaging. So we found a sneak around, and that's through instant feedback to our website, empoweredlivingradio.com. Thank you all so much for all your messages. Thank you for those of you who are new listeners, which is a whole lot of you. Every single show we've ever done is available 100% free at empoweredlivingradio.com. Check it out. There's over 1,000 hours of radio. We do this kind of feeling out not a new format so much. This would actually be the old format, but the show can be unpredictable. Sometimes it could be an hour long where I kind of rant like I'm doing now. Sometimes it could be 2 hours long. Sometimes it'll be feedback. Sometimes there'll be guests. The show is moving, evolving. The show, just like any other moving and evolving thing, it changes around. But we're always here and always available. Check us out on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, and wherever else on the internet. Anyways, our show is free. Don't ever pay for it. It's available on a bunch of different websites. If you don't want to go to our website or iTunes or whatever, just don't pay for it. If you're paying for it, it's because someone's selling it to you illegally. The show is designed to be for free and will always be for free. Okay. What are we talking about? Oh, soul nourishment and life fulfillment. So, again, till I'm blue in the face, people, till I'm blue in the face, think the thought and then do it. Think the thought and then do it. We've come to complicate this so much. We really, really have come to complicate this so much. It's really not, it's simple. It's just not easy because life does seem to make things not easy. It doesn't make it not simple because the answer is always simple. If you want to lose weight and feel healthier, then you have to diet and exercise. That's really it. That's what every book should just say, diet and exercise. And it is what they say. They just say it in 400 pages. Because the answer is simple. It just doesn't seem easy. Life complicates things. And by life complicating things, I mean that our minds complicate things. So when we're talking about soul nourishment, I want you to know that I get what the soul nourishment is. I also feel this way. I feel amazing when I do this. The A Better Today community was soul nourishment and life fulfillment for me. This show is soul nourishment and life fulfillment for me. I see it, I want it, I feel it, and then I do it. And when all of those components meet with what I want is in alignment with what I do, I feel amazing. Happiness isn't even the way to describe. Happiness seems diluted to the way I truly feel when my wants and dreams are in alignment with my actions. And I'm sharing that with you because I have been in the place of the hangover for wanting and wanting and wanting and not seeing those results. I've been in that spot where I'm waiting for my dreams to come true and realizing that's not the way it works. The only people who will ever tell you that's the way it works are the people who make money from you thinking that's the way it works. It's not the way it works. They don't just come true. You make them come true. You bring them to truth. That's how it works. Walt Disney had a vision and he put a team together to bring that vision to reality. It didn't just come true. It cost him something. Your dream costs you something. Your dream comes with a price. It costs you something. We have stopped being willing to pay that price. But when you don't pay that price, the dream does not come true. If you have a dream of being healthier, you've got to pay the price of being conscious of getting, pay the price of getting out of your old habits and being conscious of what you're eating, conscious of your decision making, conscious of your willpower, conscious of your defeating voice, conscious of so many things, so that you can pay that price, so that you can live differently, so that you can experience that dream. The same happens if you want to be better off financially. The same happens if you're not even sure of what you want to do in the future. Some people aren't even sure what they want. But you're sure of what you don't want. So start moving in a different direction. Any direction, anything. I'm a huge proponent of change, switching things up. Not irresponsible change, but rational change. When you have rational change, when you inject rational change into your life, you will feel more nourished and more fulfilled because you will feel alive. Folks, what makes you feel in that same crap, different day mentality is because you're existing and not living. You're feeling the drunkenness of dreams and then experiencing the hangover of inaction. And it defeats your soul. I'm telling you, that's the feeling you have. That's the feeling you have. It's the feeling of defeat. Saying, what's it all worth? Nothing ever changes anyway. That is defeat. That is the hangover of inaction. Folks, I have become convinced, and the older I get, the more convinced I get. It wasn't that I was so inspired by life. I'm inspired by living. It's not that I'm inspired by life. I'm inspired by living. Because if I wasn't taking action on what I wanted and I had that same crap different day, I'm alive and I'm not inspired. So it wasn't that I was inspired by life. I'm inspired by living. It's the same as not being inspired by oxygen, but inspired by breathing. It's not that I love oxygen. I love breathing. You know what I mean? It's not that. It's life in action that inspires me. And the more I read, the more open I am to history, the more open I am to seeing things as they've been being told. I'm on this new, well, I guess it's been for a while, but I've been studying back and forth everything I can get my hands on the human mind and what we understand of it. And first of all, we understand very little of the brain and how it works, but we understand enough to know that our old concepts were wrong, and we do have a great, science has a great understanding. There are teams of scientists all over the world that have mapped out a great understanding of our mind and our reality of how it works. And I've been comparing that to the old philosophies, whether it be Kabbalistic philosophies or Stoic philosophies or religious philosophies, biblical philosophies. I've been cross-referencing them First of all, because I'm that much fun. And second, because it's something you all know interests me. I want to know the why. I want to know the how. Why do we have this what they call cognitive dissonance? I talk about in the five truths, I talk about that there's a difference between believing and knowing. And now I'm understanding that within our mind, we both believe something and know it's not true at the same time. We have this dissonance where we can believe that humanity is all one, and we believe that humanity is all one and everyone's good, and we believe this to be true, but at night we lock our doors because we know it isn't. And we have this, oh, we believe, and if I just intend. So at the same time of believing, if I just intend to do better, if I just put positive thoughts out there, it will come to me. So we believe that, but then your children get home and say, hey, I want to do, I'm going to do better on my math test, but because I've intended to do better, because I've put out a positive vibration of better test grades. But, and you'll tell your kid, yeah, now go study, because that's what's going to get you better grades. So we believe it, but at the same time, we know it's not true. So we have this cognitive dissonance in our head, and I want to understand why and how to break through it, not just with an eloquence of words, but an actual understanding, so I could look at somebody and say, hey, listen, this is why you're cutting yourself off from your dreams. This is why you are not connecting with what you think is God. This is why you are feeling disempowered. I want to be able to answer that on every level. I want to be able to give them a spiritual answer and reference the spiritual ideology behind it. I want to be able to give them a scientific answer and reference the scientific ideology behind it. I want to be able to do that, and I'm going to be able to do it. And while I'm doing this, I stay open to anything I can get my hands on in reading. So I spend a lot of time reading and understanding and listening to this. And because of this, I have reinforced what I've been saying all along. I don't know if when I was young and I started thinking this way, I don't know if I had one of those moments, or I don't know what it was. But the things I've been writing about since I'm about 20 years old are incredibly accurate. And I'm just now understanding to the full degree of it, that it's been accurate. And one of those things is that it's action that speaks to this universe. The language of this universe is action. We become masters of the thought. We become masters of the intent. And while those are super important, the universe doesn't hear you until you take action. I was referencing the reason I brought up that whole rant just now. That kind of got out of control for a second. But the reason I brought up that whole rant is I was looking through biblical texts and referencing agreement with reality and this kind of stuff. And through this biblical text, I was reading about, of course, the New Testament biblical Jesus. So here Jesus is talking about prayer. And he's talking about prayer, and he's saying how you should pray, how you shouldn't pray, and what type of prayer makes you a hypocrite and all this stuff. But finally he tells whoever's listening, he's telling how to pray, and then he says, you know, and when you pray, do this, do this, do this, say this, say this, say this, and the God of this universe, and our God, he says, and God who sees everything shall reward you. Being that I was open to this, I realized how fascinating that here the figurehead of Christianity, which to them this is to Christians, this is the Savior, this is the Messiah, this is the person who Christians look to for answers, redemption, and everlasting life. I found it so fascinating that while this Messiah was talking about prayer, when talking about how to pray and who to pray to and how to say it and why to say it that way and what to do, when he referenced the God and God's reaction to the prayer. He's the God who sees everything. I found it so fascinating that when referencing prayer, Jesus didn't say, and God who hears everything, but instead chose to use the word sees everything. Once again, reinforcing that the only prayer you can say that will be heard is a prayer of action. Action is the language of this universe. Action is the language of this God. Action, folks, is the language of your dreams. When you have a dream about something, when you are dreaming it and wishing it and intending it for your life, you don't visualize speaking. You don't have a dream about your thoughts. You have a dream about a reality. When you visualize something, you're not visualizing your thoughts and saying, here's me visualizing myself having thoughts. No, you visualize a reality. And we think to create that reality with our thoughts. It makes no sense. This is why you don't create that reality, because you think you're going to think your way to it. The thought itself creates the potentiality. It shows you the potentiality. Your thought, your dream, your intent, your vision shows you and says, hey, look, this is what's possible in your life. This can happen. But it is up to us to make that happen. To say, hey, I want to make that happen. Let me draw up a plan. Let me get out there and execute this plan. And I have to know. I have to know that if what I see in this vision, what I see in this dream, if what I see in this intent is greatly different than my reality right now, then I have to be ready for the truth that my actions must also be greatly different than my reality right now. And if you're willing to pay that price, you will live that dream. If you are willing to pay that price, you will live that dream. If you're not willing to pay that price, you will not live that dream. That's how that works. I would love to make it more poetic for you. I would love to fill the pages with words for you. I would love to put it out on a 6-disc DVD and charge you money to tell it to you eloquently. But I would be doing you a disservice. We do ourselves enough disservice. We don't need other people doing it for us. Instead, let me tell you the truth. If the vision you see, if the dream you see, if the intent you see for yourself is greatly different than your life right now, then your actions must be greatly different. Or else you will not experience that dream. This world is mathematical. There's an equation. 2 + 2 = 4 every single time. If what you want isn't 4 anymore, then you've got to change that equation. If you want to go from 4 to 10, then you have to change. You can't keep doing 2 + 2 and being frustrated that it doesn't equal 10. But that's what we do. Oh, I've been 4 for so long, but I'm visualizing 10. And then I'll need to keep doing 2 + 2. Keep doing 2 + 2 and get frustrated. Frustrated that doesn't equal 10. And then so frustrated you get that hangover and you say, you know what? I'm not doing math anymore. This math doesn't work. I've been doing 2 + 2 and I never get 10. It doesn't work anymore. This is all bullshit. That's not how it works. And I'm sorry that we've been trained to think it works that way. We've been trained to think it works that way, and we're also evolved. We evolve into the most efficient versions of ourselves. So efficiency sometimes correlates with lack of a resistance. So we do try to find the easy way. It's human instinct to try and find the easy way. Unfortunately, it's also human instinct to try and sell people what they're looking for. So, as a conversation I had, by the way, with a big self-help industry head, had a conversation and said, Steve, you're kind of tough on the self-help industry lately. The industry does really well financially. These people are buying this stuff. Why would you be tough on something that people clearly want? And I said, well, they want it. Undoubtedly, they want it because they're buying it. So I could see that they want it. But I also know ethically, just because somebody will buy something doesn't mean you should sell it to them, especially if you know that it's not true. And their answer was, well, nobody put a gun to their head to buy it. If they want to buy it, why wouldn't we sell it to them? Doesn't matter if it's true or not. If they want to buy it, we're going to sell it to them. So, of course, like I said, as human beings, it is our instinct to want the path of least resistance. And as humans also, there's always going to be someone willing to sell you that. But I'm here to tell you that if you don't want that hangover, if you don't want that dream hangover, if you don't want to be frustrated anymore, that 2 + 2 = 10, change the equation and it'll work every single time. Every single time. If you just take steps towards your dream, do yourself that honor. Do yourself the honor of taking a step towards your dream. Even if you think it's so far away that you'll never get there, take the step. Take the step. At least with one step, you're closer than you've ever been. At least with one step, you're closer than you've ever been. And that's living. Living is taking that step, not letting anyone tell you it's too far, not letting yourself tell you it's too far, honoring yourself enough to take that step, to move from soul nourishment to life fulfillment, to be able to say, whatever the day is that you're on your deathbed, to be able to say, you know what? I had dreams, and I took those steps to make them come true. For me, that's a life well lived. And that dream can be anything. It doesn't have to be you don't have to build. You don't have to build Epcot Center. You don't have to build an Epcot Center. That dream could be a dream of an education, a dream for a business you've always wanted, a dream for a healthier lifestyle, a dream for a healthier relationship, a dream for, I don't know, a closer-knit family, whatever it is, whatever your dream is. I can't even begin to imagine how many different types of dreams and visions and intents there are out there. I hope an unlimited amount. No matter what your dream is, take those steps. Love yourself enough to be more than just the dreamer. Love yourself enough to take that step. And when you're doing so, never forget, this New Yorker loves you and is cheering you on. Folks, I want to make sure you check out our websites, thebettertoday.com, stevemaraboli.com, and empoweredlivingradio.com. You'll find us on Facebook. You'll find us on Twitter. We've got videos on YouTube. Check them out. Big hugs from New York. Go out there, make a difference. Have the dream and follow it. You're listening to Empowered Living. I'm Steve Maraboli. We'll see you next time.
Better Today would like to thank you for listening to Empowered Living, Life, the Truth, and Being Free.